Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 10. We're going to look at, scripturally, we're going to look at an Italian banquet. So you might get hungry by the time this is over. Just keep in mind, I'll be preaching it twice before I get to go eat. So we talk about spaghetti, lasagna, pizza, breadsticks, garlic bread. That's actually not where we're going. We're going to Acts chapter 10 as we look at this. But the reason that it's relevant, we'll get to it in just a moment. But the scripture, where we are, and we're not going to read all of Acts 10, probably. We'll take apart and read some of it. But where this fits, in Acts chapter 9, we got a lot of the story of what's going on with Paul. How Paul came to Christ, and then how he first taught in Damascus and then escaped over the wall in a basket. And then he goes to Jerusalem, and they're still afraid of him in Jerusalem. And we could have spent some time there on Paul and on how there are times that people come to faith in Christ. And because they've come to faith in Christ, but because of what they were before, we stay afraid of them and we tend to push them off. And that one of the things that needs to happen is we have to have patience. Paul could have walked in and insisted on being, well, I'm supposed to be important. Jesus told me I'm going to be his missionary to the Gentiles and this and this. And instead, he goes, eventually, when they said, look, we're just not sure about you, he went back to Tarsus. I think we could draw from Galatians. He actually also spent some time in Arabia in prayer, looking at Scripture, listening to what God had to say. But that's where Paul has gone. Peter, then, is picked back up in the story, and we're in the last couple of chapters of looking at what happens with Peter. Soon, the narrative of Scripture and the flow of the history that we get will pass from Peter on to Paul. And then from there, church history becomes about all sorts of people instead of, you know, tracking just one or two big names and important names. But we're back to Peter. Peter has been involved in the healing of a guy named Aeneas, and he's been involved in the healing of a lady named Tabitha, who's also called Dorcas, who was a helper of the church. And I love reading through that. When you look at it, there's actually a little footnote in some of your Bibles where Peter goes in and heals Tabitha and says to her, get up, and in one translation will have, get up and make your bed, but it also could be translated as, get up and get ready to eat, which again reminds us that these are Baptists we're dealing with, because food, I mean, that's just the way that we work and the way that we roll. But that's where we are. Peter is now spending time at the house of a guy named Simon, which is probably one reason that he's mainly going by Peter at this point, because otherwise it gets confusing around the house. But he's at the home of Simon the Tanner, and he's spending some time there. And then we cut over to Caesarea, which is up the road from Joppa, to a man named Cornelius. Now, we'll pick up a little bit of the text here in Acts chapter 10. There was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. He was a devout man and feared God along with his whole household. He did many charitable deeds for the Jewish people and always prayed to God. Now, something to take from that is that Cornelius is, at the very least, striving to follow the God of the Jews. He's following most of the Old Testament. He has not converted to Judaism, probably for a couple of reasons. One of them being his role as a centurion in the Italian regiment and just the way religion was treated at the time. And whether or not he could have continued, there were some other aspects of conversion that he probably didn't really want to do. But he's still devout in his worship. About 3 in the afternoon, he distinctly saw in a vision an angel of God who came in and said to him, Cornelius, always good for him to know your name. Staring at him in awe, he said, what is it, Lord? The angel told him, your prayers and your acts of charity have ascended as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for Simon, who is also called named Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, he called 2 of his household, servants, and a devout soldier who was one of those who attended him. After explaining everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were traveling and nearing the city, Peter went up to pray on the roof about noon. He became hungry and wanted to eat, but while they were preparing something, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and an object that resembled a large sheet coming down being lowered by its four corners to the earth. In it were all the four-footed animals and reptiles of the earth and the birds of the sky. And a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." This is where the banquet part of the title comes from. So you got the Italian banquet. "No, Lord," Peter said, "for I have never eaten anything impure or ritually unclean." Again, a second time, the voice said to him, "What God has made clean, do not call impure." This happened three times, and suddenly the object was taken up into heaven. So what's going on here? As we start with this, we start with a man who knows God as well as he's able to. His knowledge of God isn't perfect. His knowledge of God is not complete. But he knows God as well as he's able, and he spends his time in prayer. He spends his efforts. He spends some of his wealth, some of his energy. What he is devoted to is to serve God as best he knows how. That's Cornelius. And as a result, God sends a message to him and says, "Your prayers are going to be answered. You need to know a little bit more about what it is to serve God." Now, sometimes we know people who strive to serve God, and they miss the mark. They don't get it exactly right. And there's three ways to respond to that. Two of them are not the right way, and the third one is. The first way to respond to it is to say, "Well, that's not exactly right, but it's okay. Your heart's in the right place, and so it doesn't really matter. It'll be all right." And to just let it go. If Cornelius had been let to go to continue to follow God as he had, he'd have never understood that Jesus died for his sins, rose up from the grave on the third day, so that he could have eternal life with God, eternal life as a follower of Jesus. And if you don't know that, and you don't follow Christ, and don't hear the gospel, and respond to the gospel, then everything that we see in Scripture says that you'll spend an eternity facing the wrath of God because you're rejecting the sacrifice of Christ. This is why we send missionaries to places. If we didn't believe that those who don't know have to know, we just let them stay ignorant and let God forgive them and they just go on with life. But we firmly believe that if you've never heard the gospel, you've got to hear it so that you'll be saved, so that you have a chance to respond. Otherwise, the worst thing that you could do to a group of people never heard of Jesus is have somebody show up and start talking about it. Because then they'd have the opportunity to accept or reject. If ignorance got you into heaven, ignorance would be the best thing. But it won't. The only thing that gets you into heaven is the shed blood of Jesus for your sins. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Those who don't call, those who don't know, don't call. They could have left Cornelius alone, and we could leave people alone. Well, they're doing the best they can with what they've got. And, you know, there's no reason to enlighten them further. That's not a great reaction. The next reaction that you could have is to look at Cornelius and say, "Well, you think you're doing right, but you've missed this, and so therefore, since you've missed this, you're just wrong, and we're just going to ignore you forever." And just walk away. Sometimes we do that to folks. "Well, they got this wrong. And since they got this wrong, we're just going to decide that they're not worth our time because they got this wrong." What's remarkable is the way that we'll do that to some people, and then to others we'll give them all the grace and leeway in the world. But we'll just, "Oh, they got this wrong, so we'll discard them. We won't try." Because, I mean, if they've got the thought, he has the whole Old Testament and he can't figure this out, let's just toss it. Third way is the way God handles Cornelius, and that is to look at him and say, "Hey, you're trying to do what's right. Your prayers have been heard that you want to know me. And so here's the fullness of what it is to know me. Here's the fullness of what it is to know the God of Scripture." And this is the way in which we should respond to folks. You want to know God? I can tell by your Facebook posts, by your this or by your that, by all the little funny things you've got around your house about spiritual matters, that you want to know God, and rather than come in and mock all of them for being foolish or explain to you a little better who God is. If you're trying to get in touch with your spiritual side, let me take the Word of God and show you better what's going on here. That's what's going on with Cornelius. I think that's part of what we can learn from him. We can tell that Cornelius has been a persuasive person. He has no problems persuading and sending two of his servants and a soldier who's listed as devout, which means he's following God the same way that Cornelius is. You're following God well. You're following God with your whole heart. At some point, there should become people who are around you that say, I want to follow what you're doing. You ever look up and find yourself completely alone? Sometimes it's because everybody else has rejected God. But sometimes it's because everybody's rejected you. You need to stop and think whether it's a problem with you or with them. Then we have Peter. Peter's up. He's hungry. Said, oh, I'll just go in and make my own sandwich to move forward. But instead, he took the time to stop and to pray. One of the things that we have reached in the world in which we live is that we don't take any moments to stop. Watch what happens when you go out to eat today and you're waiting so that you can be one of the thirds of the people who actually get a table. Take a look around. See how many people pull out. I don't actually have my phone in my pocket. But see how many people pull out their cell phone and start scanning Facebook, arguing on Twitter. How many people pull it out, and how many kids pull it out, and they got to watch a movie. Got to watch it. Got to play a video game. How many adults have got to, I got to watch the NASCARs on. Just turn left, y'all. You're not missing much. But we don't stop. Ever. And then we wonder why it is we never hear from God. Church activities tend to be filled with hustle and bustle from start to finish. Because we don't want to stop. That's always one of my, that's a big thing that you notice even when you go to like preacher meetings, that just there's always something wall to wall. It becomes this question, when do we stop? So Peter stops. He stops to pray, he's up on the roof, and he goes into a trance. I think his blood sugar dips a little bit. His attention, you know, his focus kind of slides because he's hungry. And I do know that it's difficult to have an extended prayer time when you're hungry. It starts to become a distraction. He goes into a trance and has a vision. And in that vision, God makes a point and he hits Peter in a way that Peter will understand because, again, I believe Peter is a Baptist. And he uses food to make his point. Here's a sheet full of food. All the animals, clean ones, unclean ones, everything. Except since you've got them all bundled in there together, that makes even the clean ones that are there ceremonially unpure because they're stacked up together. You can't put a cow with a pig and have the cow stay pure because it's together with it. That's the law. God says, well, kill, eat. Peter says, whoa, I can't do that. I've never violated these rules. And those rules were a part of what kept the Jews separate and distinct from the Gentiles. And there's a lot about how that led to their separation in the world. think that Peter at this point understands that the purpose that the church is supposed to be beyond simply the people of Israel, because he's seen the Samaritans get saved. He's heard of Gentiles being saved. He sees the gospel there. But I think that there's just that tendency to kind of back up and say, well, what the goal here is for people to become like us as Jews and then to follow our Messiah. And if they'll come to us, then we'll make that adjustment. But instead, God's pointing out to him that, no, I'm going to send you among them. And it's not for them to become like you. It is for them to be who I've created them to be. That they would be still be Gentiles and such. And so Peter gets a couple of lessons here. First of all, the recognition that all foods are clean. Now, earlier in the Gospels, Jesus talked about that it's not what goes into a man that makes him clean or unclean, but what comes out that shows that he is. And Mark actually records, you know, that by this he declared all things, all foods clean. And then we get that reinforced here. This is why you can have a good church cookout with, you know, catfish and all these other unclean foods. Because even though they are ceremonially unclean, if you were a Jew, God has declared that they are acceptable. And so we see that part of Scripture made clear, that we don't have to worry about that. But the other thing that he makes plain to Peter, that we'll pick up as we go through here, Peter's deeply perplexed about, in verse 17, about what the vision he had seen might mean. It's okay to be perplexed about what the vision might mean. Right away, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions to Simon's house, stood at the gate. Sometimes God's timing is just perfect, isn't it? Here's Peter, perplexed, and there's the answer at the door. They called out, asking if Simon, who was named Peter, was lodging there. While Peter was thinking about the vision, the Spirit told him, "Three men are here looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them with no doubts at all, because I have sent them." Peter went down to the men, said, "Here I am, the one you're looking for. What is the reason you're said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who has a good reputation with the whole Jewish nation, was divinely directed by a holy angel to call you to his house to hear a message from you." Peter then invited them in and gave them lodging. He also invited them in so they'd go ahead and have that lunch that they were working on. Okay, this is why Peter doesn't leave the meeting. Lunch is okay. Next day he got up and set out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went with him. The following day he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and his close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him, fell at his feet, and worshipped him. Peter lifted him up and said, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." Remember, we're messengers, we're not those who should be worshipped. While talking with him, he went in and found a large gathering of people. Peter said to him, "You know it's forbidden for a Jewish man to associate with or even visit a foreigner. God has shown me that I must not call any person impure or unclean. That's why I came without any objection when I was sent for. So may I ask, why you sent for me?" And Cornelius tells him what happened. Verse 34, Peter began to speak, "Now I truly understand that God doesn't show favoritism, but in every nation, the person who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. He sent the message to the Israelites proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You know the events that took place throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism of John, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the tyranny of the devil, because God was with him. We ourselves are witnesses of everything he did in both the Judean country and in Jerusalem, yet they killed him by hanging him on a tree. God raised up this man on the third day and caused him to be seen, not by all the people, but by us whom God appointed as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people, to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins." So why does this matter? When you look at this, it matters because there's always going to be somebody time possibly, maybe, the annoying kid in vacation Bible school that nobody really wanted in their group. But fortunately, that person saw through all of that, saw through the impurity, and saw through the obnoxiousness, and kept you and taught you about Jesus. There was possibly that time that there was that person that looked at you and said, well, I don't really care for the way he acts in the youth group, but I'll at least, we'll put up with him. We may have to sit on him, we may have to duct tape him to a chair, but we'll make sure he hears about Jesus one more time. There was that time that you came to church, and it was after you had married somebody that some folks in church thought was a bad idea. But folks still loved you enough and saw through that and said, we still want you. We still want you here so that you can hear the gospel, so that you can follow after Jesus. There was that time that you came to church after you had your divorce. And God said, and God still sent people in the room to care enough about you. That time that you moved and you were an outsider, you were a stranger, and people said, I'm not really sure we like outsiders and strangers here, but they welcomed you. They were glad that you were here. That time you took that job that you really thought was beneath you, and everybody else thought that now that made you beneath them, but they welcomed you in and said, we're still glad you're here. We don't really care that much for bank presidents, but we're glad that you're here. God by checking out this philosophy or checking out this or checking out that, send for somebody that can help walk you through what's in the Word of God itself and see what God says. And if you haven't done that, you need to do that. But as believers, what do we do with this? Well, we ought to take the time to pray. And it ought to be something that is more important to us even than food when we're hungry. We ought to listen. listen to what God says when we pray. And we ought to obey. Not just listen and file it, but obey. And then from there, as God's people, it is on us to respond to those that we might start off by judging as impure in the same way that the people who could have judged us as impure reacted to us. And we could say, well, you know, out of 100 people, 98 of them rejected. There was this one time that it really hurt. There was this one person, there was this one guy over here, there was this one lady over here, and it was terrible. Instead of focusing on that, focus on the ones who really care enough to say, hey, I know you're going through a rough time and you don't feel like you should, you want to be around people, but we really want you in Sunday school. Hey, we know this hadn't gone right for you, but we really want you here. We know right now what you can do is just be there. Folks have got to and let's take that and pass that forward by looking at other people and saying, where are they? What do we need to do to bring them to God who has said that their cure and their work is time? Their work is sacrifice. See, that's the question. Italian regiment for a reason. It's because they had come from Italy.